Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Alicia Seckham, and tackling your questions on the line this evening is Merrill Pick from Old Mutual Investments and independent analyst Chris Gilmore as well. So don't forget to send those questions through to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Welcome to you both and thanks so much for joining us this evening. Merrill, let's perhaps start off with you because a little bit of a tug of war playing itself out. One side stronger than the other, and it seems that it's for today the earnings season that's winning attention over or pulling more muscle over some of those inflationary concerns that persist and implications for interest rate hikes down the road.
Yes, sure. I think, you know, the one take on inflation and interest rate hikes is that it is an indication that there's an underlying recovery underway. You know, as vaccinations are rolling out, economies are slowly opening up, consumers haven't rolled over, nor have corporates. And so there is underlying demand, and that is some of the reason for the inflation. And I think as companies continue to report, we still see reasonably healthy earnings recovery and earnings growth coming through.
Yeah. Well, talking about health, let's focus on the health, the pharmaceutical space in particular for a minute, Chris. Merck, is it a good investment? If you look at how vaccines cause stocks to rise and with Merck focusing on an option that is more user-friendly, what's your take on Merck?
Yeah, if you go back a few months ago, about a year or so ago, Merck kind of went out of the vaccine space. They decided they weren't going to roll out a vaccine. But very recently, they've actually come out with a COVID pill. And as you say, that may well be a nice substitute in many ways. I haven't looked at the financials involved here, but I think anything that you can actually take orally, particularly, that you can actually use to defeat COVID, has to be a real winner in this kind of environment. So yeah, it really looks very, very good indeed. Because, you know, the existing pharmaceuticals that are being used to treat it are not particularly efficacious.
Yeah. Okay, so fundamentally, we're looking at a supportive picture here, Merrill. Valuation-wise, relative to some of the other options that investors have disposal to, what are we looking at?
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with Merck's valuation at this point, but I think the important thing is that most likely COVID and recurring boosters or means of treating it going forward are going to be a long dated theme. So it's probably, at least we can say, a tailwind that would be behind these pharmaceuticals for some time.
Yeah. Okay. Of course, as we see vaccination rollouts come through, we've had restrictions being lifted. The latest, South Africa off the UK's red list, Merrill. It's great news for South Africa. And there's pent-up demand that many expect to filter through the travel system. I would think travel and leisure stocks are set to benefit here. Which of the following stocks do you prefer? Sun International, City Lodge, or Hoskin Consolidated Investments? Merrill.
Look, I think anything with exposure to the hotel sector has been so smashed. Top line has been so decimated that pretty much any one of those would be close to bottom and recover from here in terms of top line. They've all started to price in some of these expectations. I think if we compare, for example, City Lodge versus Sun International at opposite extremes, City Lodge is quite exposed to business and corporate travel, whereas Sun International and elements of Hoskin are more exposed to leisure and particularly the tourism travel. So I think if you're in particular trying to play tourism, both local and international, then City Lodge would be the least preferred. But from here, vaccinations and opening up will benefit all three.
Okay. Chris, I'm not sure if I'm remembering correctly, but was City Lodge one of your favorites once upon a time, or am I mistaken?
Oh, very much so, and it still is. We can chat about that later. But look, if we're looking at those three, Sun International is much more oriented towards gaming as such. I mean, just as a consumer, if you go into some international hotels, you know, they're not really that concerned with hotels compared with the gaming side. That's where they make the real money. And, you know, that's not really something that foreigners come to South Africa for. That's much more a local type of thing. So I don't think that's going to have so much resonance in terms of coming off the red list and stuff like that. Whereas I think with City Lodge, yes, it will. And that's why the share price has been zooming upwards in the past few days and week and a couple of weeks. So look, I think City Lodge currently, you're talking about a corporate penetration. Should I say the corporate penetration used to be right about typically about 15%. We'll get back to that sort of level. Sorry, the leisure corporate penetration was about 15%. That went down to about that went up to about 30%. That will come back to better sort of levels as time goes on. And the corporate will take time. The corporate side will take time to get back to normal levels because corporates, you know, they've got into the way of doing everything by Zoom, and Teams and stuff. So that will take longer. But look, if you look at the discount to the NAV, and by the way, you can actually use replacement value NAV for this thing, because if you wanted to repurpose many of the hotels, you can actually do it. I spoke to Andy Whittaker, the CEO of City Lodge a few weeks ago, and he said exactly that. If, you know, the worst came to the worst, you could repurpose a lot of these things for apartment blocks type of thing. So that's what I'm saying is you can actually use a replacement value. And I've got a replacement value of 11 Rand 44. So it's currently trading at around about half of that.
Okay, so one to look at there. Let's take it to the property arena then for a minute, Merrill. Given today's announcement from Growthpoint around its intention to restructure its debt around a specific set of properties, I'd like to know whether this corporate action would result in a rights issue or an alternative secondary market offering allowing existing shareholders to participate in the funding of this debt structure.
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with the deal. Maybe Chris can comment.
Okay,
but
Chris.
I think in general, the debt within the property sector has been a concern. So it's a good thing to see them starting to address that.
Okay, Chris, let's pass the baton to you. Do you have any better line of sight on that one?
Not really. I've never been a great fan of property stocks generally. And I think in this particular situation we've got now with the COVID pandemic, they're even less attractive than they were. Look, as I say, I'm not a property expert, but you know, looking at Growthpoint, unless you're going to be able to repurpose a lot of these properties, I think they and a lot of other property companies are going to have problems in the not too distant future.
More up your alley then, the retail sector, Chris. Woolies, hold or sell?
Not an easy answer to this one. We put a note out on this a few weeks ago. Look, I don't have any shadow of a doubt that Woolies are going to sell their Australian operations. And I don't just mean David Jones. I'm talking about Country Road as well. And I think ultimately what will have to happen, is that Woolies will revert to being predominantly a food company, something that they do incredibly well. Clothing, not so well. How you actually get rid of that is anybody's guess. But I think really it's going to have to be something like that. If they were to come to the market and said, look, we're going to actually streamline the business, we're going to get rid of Australia lock, stock and barrel, and we're going to concentrate on food and just about nothing else, I think that would be taken incredibly positively. And I think the market would love it. But nope. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to persevere in the same old fashion. I think they're going to carry on kicking the can down the road in Australia. I would say I don't see any real upside in Woolies. I think the food side is a phenomenally good business and will remain so. And it's got no real competition, frankly. There are problems with the company that are not being addressed sufficiently.
So that being said then, Merrill, hold or sell for you? This viewer highlighting that is not made or lost, but seeing very little movement at this point. And of course, then just getting, I guess, a bit antsy.
I would lean towards sell. And the reason being, I agree with the bulk of what Chris has said, except for, I think there is competition creeping into the food space via the ShopRite Group's Checkers offering. I think they are stealthily innovating, and things that one would have expected Woolies to take the lead on, for example, home delivery, Checkers actually jumped in the gap there that they left on the table. That being said, I think the new CEO is doing a lot of the right things, simplifying the business, simplifying the balance sheet and the management structure. But I also have, I have questions about the niche in the market that the clothing business actually really fulfills in South Africa going on a five-year view.
Okay, Meryl, where does Spar come in on the rankings for you? Retail has been going up, but Spar down.
Yes. I think, you know, Spar is one of the, maybe the last retailers that still got quite an aggressive international M&A strategy. You know, my view on that, it is not necessarily a positive thing. They are pursuing growth, but they tend to be buying underperforming assets within Spar for the sake of growth. And it's not that these are amazing assets and they're creating value, they are merely adding growth. And they're doing so by also gearing up the balance sheet. So I suppose I have questions about the capital allocation there. And because of the franchise model, they don't have that much control over their space growth, for example, within South Africa. So getting more growth out of South Africa is a bit of a struggle, and hence they're looking offshore with some mixed success. So yeah. In the food space, I prefer ShopRite.
Okay. Chris, how about Long for Life? Lots of news coming through on Long for Life today. Is Long for Life attractive after the announcement of takeover interest on the table? I was chatting to Anthony Clark a short while ago, and he's highlighted that this is not new. It's just that, you know, this news has only been heard today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with entirely what Anthony said. Look, I remember going to a Long for Life presentation at Standard Bank about 2 years ago, and Joffe was there and was lamenting the fact that shareholders were not what they used to be. In the old days, you could pick up the phone and, as a shareholder, if you had problems, talk to management and say, you're not doing this right, and blah, blah, blah. And he was saying, no, all they were doing was dumping the shares. And I can understand why he was getting frustrated with them. And if you look at Long for Life's performance on the market, it's been pretty abysmal over a number of years. Look, the quality of the assets is great. I think they've got super assets. Who's going to buy them? I've got absolutely no idea. It must be a brand company of some description, I guess. And again, it's sitting at a bit of a discount to NAV. So I think whoever buys them will be able to do what they want to do away from the glare of publicity in an unlisted form. And good luck to them. I think it's a good move.
Yeah. Well, is this one that you'd be buying into right now, given this news and everything that's bubbling under, Meryl?
I think, you know, once the news has broken, a lot of it is then in the price. So, you know, well done to those who were holding it. But I think from this point on, no.
No. Okay, let's take things into the resources space. With PGMs running hard this week, Meryl, what can we expect heading towards the end of the year? So pull out your crystal ball there. But while you've got that, while you try and clean that up, has the bottom finally been established for the likes of Implat, Sibanye and Arm? Or should I be looking for a pullback after this massive weekly rise to get a better entry?
Wow, what an interesting question. We call 200 plus. Is this the bottom? No, the bottom was that 50 something or 45 rand a couple of years ago. So no, I do not think this at all resembles a bottom. There's a few things, you know, at play. I think the key thing to watch is supply, and that's probably the only thing we can have any certainty on in PGMs. And what we know is that because there are long-term concerns about the demand for traditional auto catalysts and traditional vehicles, together with, you know, ESCOM power constraints, labor militants, etc. South African producers, and we are the key producer of these metals globally, have not invested in capacity. So yeah. Supply has just been flat to declining, unlike previous cycles where there were greenfields projects, you know, coming on around 2012, 2015. So that's the one thing we can tick as a positive for PGM prices. In terms of demand, there have been short-term headwinds like the semiconductor shortages, which are kind of dampening car production globally. I do not see that as a long-term structural problem. I think it's something that will right itself, whether it takes 12 months, 18 months, car production will get back to normal. The question is, what will the composition of that car production be by the time we get there? What percentage of it will be electric vehicles versus hybrid versus traditional? Honestly, nobody knows. Yeah. And that is why the miners themselves are not investing in more production. At the same time, you've got potential new demand from hydrogen economy, even from like Sasol is talking about investing in hydrogen production, which would increase demand for platinum. So on the demand side, we just don't know. What I do know is that prices are very high compared to their long-term history. Yeah. For these metals. So I would tread quite cautiously.
Okay, so let's look at what you guys are feeling a little bit more adventurous about. Chris, what's your stock pick this evening?
Well, we alluded to it a little bit earlier, and I'm sticking with City Lodge. As I said before, you know, it's sitting on a very, very steep discount to replacement net asset value. And you know, a number of things. We've talked about the leisure market. I think we're going to see a good Christmas season. I don't think we're going to see any more lockdowns. I think the vaccination rollout is going to carry on apace and going very, very nicely. We're also going to see corporates starting to travel an awful lot more. Yes, the bean counters and head office are going to say, well, you can't travel, you can go do Zoom and Teams and stuff. But there is a limit to what you can do with that. Yeah. And I think they're itching to get back into the field. So I think, you know, you're sitting on such a huge discount. It's not so long ago that City Lodge was at 50 rands a share. And currently, around about 5 rands a share. I can see huge potential in this one. Okay. Incredibly well managed company.
So eyeing upside potential there. On your side, Merrill, very quickly.
My pick for today is Sasol. Although it has more than doubled off the bottoms of last year, I still think it has got more to go, particularly if these oil prices hold. We see earnings of about 40 rand a share for next year. Historically, it used to trade in a PE of 10. Even if you put in some discount for the ESG, climate change overhang, you still should get a valuation of between 320 and 360, which means there's upside from here. And that is not actually using today's spot oil price of 80 Rand. So I think they have come up with some longer term plans to address some of the climate change issues. And I think the coal price and the oil price have shown us that although we do need to decarbonize, the path to get there is going to be very slow. And at this point in time, the world still requires fossil fuels.
Okay, let's leave it there. Thank you both for having joined us this Thursday evening. Of course, Merrill Pick is with Old Mutual Investments and Chris Skillmore is an independent analyst. We'll be back next week to take more of your stock-related questions. For now, though, have a great evening.